Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and this is a live prophecy, reality, worldview weekly edition. And today I'm going to start with a special report from Stu Peters and Edward Zoll, and we'll discuss it after we watch it here.
Stu, well, the bells of the Vatican are ringing. Not to call people to worship God, no. To call in the church's wealth before a coming calamity. Pope Francis has put the word out, ordering every entity affiliated with the Vatican to transfer all of their financial assets into the Vatican Bank by the end of the month. That means every religious order, every Catholic foundation, every arm of the Catholic Church anywhere around the whole globe has a hard date, just 10 days away, to get its money under the direct control of the Vatican. That means pulling billions of dollars out of Swiss financial institutions and top banks in London and Rome and Paris and the United States. Now, while we call it the Vatican Bank, that isn't really its real name. Technically, it's not even a bank at all. Its real name is the Institute for the Works of Religion. And it's a private financial institute run out of Vatican City. It was founded in 1942 at the height of World War II, and almost nothing is known about its day-to-day operations and dealings. It only put out its first annual report in 2013 after multiple scandals. One of the institute's former leaders, Ettore Gatti Tedeschi, says that his efforts to stop crime and corruption at the bank nearly got him killed before he was pushed out a decade ago. More recently, in an interview, Tedeschi said that COVID was being exploited by globalists to pursue a great reset of imposing radical policies onto the entire planet to crash the global population. But more to the point, why is the Vatican recalling all of its money now? The Vatican is basically a deep state institution. They get word of things before they happen. So do they have advance word that a major economic collapse is coming? Inflation is still high. We're in a full-blown recession. Russia and Ukraine are still at war. Actually, check that. We are at war with Russia and Ukraine. China is still doing COVID lockdowns. Something has to give. Last Friday, FedEx stock dropped 20% overnight after the company's CEO revealed a major slowdown in international shipments and predicted a global economic recession. What the hell is going on? Edward Zoll has some thoughts on this, and he joins us now. Edward, thank you so much for coming.
Oh, pleasure to be here, Stu. It does appear that Pope Francis is preparing for an October surprise. It's every couple of years we hear about these surprises in the fall, surprises that are never to our benefit. They're a war, some shock to the markets, or some kind of change to the world. Well, the change to the world has happened. Through the pandemic, we saw governments put in systems that could both change the way we work, change the way we think, and take away the rights that we have remaining. I think regard to this this move by the Vatican. So first of all, the Vatican, for sure, is on the inside. They're getting the heads up about what's happening economically because they're considered their own little empire in this sense. They have holdings in every country in the world. And that's what makes this decision by the Vatican, by Pope Francis, so important. It's every institution in the world, every church, every parish. They're about to be essentially separated in part. Because the money is going to be purely controlled by Rome, by the institutions in Rome. Some people, Stu, are saying that this is just a consolidation of power. For me, and I think for you, we look at many of these instances from the 10,000 feet view. There are so many things happening in October. We have a run-up to an election that is probably already rigged, probably has no impact from the voters, and again is putting more Chinese-controlled or just straight pedophile-controlled, satanically controlled politicians into power. On top of that, we have a famine coming. Famine that was manufactured, was artificial, something that was not just due to a corrupt failure. It was due to government corruption, evil people such as John Podesta, and as you mentioned, shortage in the movie, I believe. They go into this aspect of it. Past this, Stu, we also have a prospect for war in Taiwan. Now, you saw over the weekend, Joe Biden said that we would deploy U.S. troops. What U.S. troops? We just kicked all the best troops out the military before rescinding the vaccine mandates, but now we're going to go to war with China. That war, according to analysts, is slated to happen in October. Stu, I don't think for a second this move was a coincidence or just an accident. I think the Vatican is preparing to weather the storm to come.
And we hope that you will weather the storm to come as well. You talked about shortage. This is a documentary that was put together by the great folks over at heavensharvest.com. I've had the opportunity to view this. This is not a joke. This is not fear porn. This is not something that we just talk about lightly or take lightly. There's one thing that they can do to completely knock out any control that we have left, any freedom or individual liberty, put us under the thumb of absolute empowerment, control, totalitarianism, make us a completely subservient class globally, worldwide, and that is to restrict our food. You can't survive without eating. Kids, I mean, we have seen what happens in the streets in countries where famine occurs. Violent. Home invasions, looting, robbing, stealing, raping, assaulting, killing. All of this happens when people starve and they need food. That's upcoming. And you mentioned these wars. The military-industrial complex being activated to enrich and empower those in the DC Beltway and the insiders like the Vatican. We're fighting an undeclared proxy de facto war in Ukraine against Russia right now. Nobody voted for this. We're fighting a war, sending upwards of $100 billion, probably $200 by the time it's all over, to the most corrupt country in the EU. And now we have this Taiwan thing ramping up. Doesn't the Vatican, doesn't the Pope have some like little boys to go touch or something? I mean, this is actual robbery. This reminds me of the Sheriff of Nottingham.
Well, Stu, I think the robbery, if we're going to call this, is a grand scheme of fraud. It's not the first time the Vatican Bank has come under pressure in this manner. And the inquiry led to some levels of transparency. But in the 1980s, there was a global recession on par, some say, with what we're about to face as humanity, as the regular people that work every single day and try to raise kids in this hellhole. But I tell you this, we do know the last time this happened. The Vatican Bank was faced with a $350 million scandal out of London, and there was a man named Roberto Calvi, who was a Freemason, part of the P2 Masonic Lodge. They used to call him God's Banker. Well, this man was found hung from Blackfriars Bridge with bricks with Masonic writing on them in his pockets and in his crotch. This man was killed because about $1 billion went missing. I think that this bank, the Vatican Bank, is used often for money laundering. I think it was used then for money laundering, for various activities, including, as you mentioned, maybe the possible cover-ups, the payments to cover up sex trafficking and abuse that did occur inside the church. Also, this could be the way the Vatican makes peace with the West, the World Economic Forum, a group that they have allied with for inclusive capitalism. The Pope invited in Klaus Schwab and the Rothschilds to meet with him in the Vatican. I think, Stu, what's happened is there may have been a peace agreement made. The Vatican is going to be left alone in much of the turbulence to come. And in exchange for this, they get to move their money back into the vaults, the gold vaults, the electronic gold vaults of the day. The rest of the world is going to have to figure it out. I know you and I, we have Jesus Christ protecting us. Amen. I pray for the others who have been left behind.
This is a monarchy. You know, people died to keep us from having a monarchy. They want us 24-hour around the news clock, news cycle, mourning the loss of the queen. And now the Vatican, I mean, this is all the same thing. This is a totalitarian state of affairs, ordering all of these entities to just surrender all of their cash for these corrupt dealings. It's insane. Great reporting. Edward Saul, thank you so much.
God bless you, Stu.
Well, there's a lot to unpack there. That's for sure. And I do appreciate Stu Peters and Edward Saul reporting there. But they're kind of missing the boat. They think that the Pope, the papacy, the Vatican is vying for position in the New World Order to come, when actually it's the other way around. Everyone else is serving the Antichrist and his shadow government. And why? Okay, well, there is that story that they're moving all of their capital from other banks to the Vatican banks. And I guess that probably went out to the local parishes here, across the state of California or wherever, the Vatican has its enclaves and embassies, because every church is an embassy. We learned that in history. So they have an embassy status. That's a whole nother topic. But every church is an embassy. Every Catholic church is an embassy of the Vatican. Ta-da! Now just let that thought sink in for a few minutes. Yeah, so they're moving all of their, they've ordered them all to move their bank accounts and all of their liquid assets, cash and banking, to the Vatican Bank by September 30th. Why? Well, that's the question. Why? We don't know. Put out here, could it be an October surprise? Well, I don't know what they have going on here as far as all of that. But I'm sure that there is something to it. And the something to it could be what is developing, what we've been talking about here for many, many years, and that is the mark of the beast monetary system that is developing in the world as we speak. Now, so many Christians, all Christians should know by reading their Bibles that the Antichrist controls the monetary system to the point where he can have everyone required to participate in the world monetary system by receiving permission from him by one means or another, the mark of the beast, the number of his name, or some type of allegiance. And how will people access their digital bank accounts? Because this is it. What we got? We have a puppet, of course, of the Antichrist in the United States. And that is this, like this article here says, Biden administration announces framework for digital dollar. This went out like 6 months ago. Executive order ordering all the branches of the federal government throughout all of the states to report back in 180 days how they were ready for central bank digital currency. And of course, central bank digital currency means Federal Reserve money. Still, America is a slave to the Federal Reserve, because whoever owns your money, you know, basically owns your labor and everything else that because you transact in the money that they own. Now, America was set up with a monetary system where everyone would own their own money. It was the great equalizer. Everyone owned their own money. And it's been that way pretty much throughout history, except for some history of debasing the currency, actually debasing the metal in the coins. And they did that too. But since 1913 in the Federal Reserve Act, we have allowed the Vatican's bankers to take over the monetary system of the United States of America. I call the Federal Reserve coup of the U.S. Treasury. And of course, you're going to hear this again, that it's not federal, and whether it has reserves or not, it doesn't matter. They say that it has no reserves. Well, not, it's not like the U.S. Treasury, which did have reserves, but we don't know what reserves are left. That information, like all of the other mystery surrounding the monetary system of the day, and especially the U.S. dollar and the Federal Reserve, is unknown to most people and unknown to those that inquire. How much gold do we have left? And I did posit a last broadcast and several other broadcasts before that when they set it up, 2030 being their target date, to unleash the agents that will be training, be the 80,000, 90,000 agents that will be training between now and then to run down the Mark of the Beast Inquisition. That's what the IRS has been for, what, 50 years now, or since Al Capone, really. They've been training for the Mark of the Beast system. They were developed and are being trained for the Mark of the Beast system. I mean, this is a transgenerational, and really trans-century, been going on for several centuries. The Antichrist tried to get in to take over the monetary system of the United States as quickly as it could after the Constitution was penned, and they were thwarted until 1913. They had many attempts before, since then, between that time, and 1913, the Civil War, which the Antichrist is primarily responsible for, you know, because wherever you see war and mayhem and murder and totalitarian regimes powering up in the world, you know that the Antichrist and his Jesuit army are behind all of the intrigue under several layers of culpable deniability, because that's their new way of operating ever since they were wounded, as the scripture puts it, that head was wounded of the beast, that head being the Vatican, was wounded at the end of the 18th century. But I'm going to tell you right now, the wound has been healed. Yes. And it has gained more power back into its hands than it could have ever dreamed of back during its 1260 year of overt reign over the ten-horned beast, or we should say the Western European nations with its 10 divisions in history. It could never have dreamed of this much power, but this much power was always its goal, to overtake the whole world. And, what do we say? Good job. So we're talking about CBDC. You hear that a lot. You're going to be hearing a lot about it. They're not going to say Mark of the Beast, but I'm going to say Mark of the Beast. CBDC, Central Bank Digital Currency. The central bank is a foreign institution headed and run by and owned by the Vatican through its shadow government and all of its operatives. The World Economic Forum is not something that the Pope kowtows to. It's the opposite. Yes. The Biden administration is working on plans to herd the public into digital currency controlled by the Federal Reserve, says this article here on activistpost.com. Last Friday, the Treasury Department released a framework for regulating digital assets. And you notice, at the same time, because really America leads the world. And so the cue for the Vatican to call in all of its assets to the Vatican Bank seems to be right on time with the end of the six-month operation here in America to start the move. Everybody get ready. How are we going to do this? You got 6 months to report back. 6 months is up now from Joe Biden's or his administration's, his cabal's, executive order. Okay. Last Friday, the Treasury Department released a framework for regulating digital assets. One major objective, according to Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, is to advance policy and technical work on a potential central bank digital currency, or CBDC. The administration is pitching a CBDC. Yes, operatives of the Antichrist. As a way to improve the security and efficiency of electronic transactions. The real motive, however, may have more to do with improving the efficiency of collecting taxes. If they hold all of your money, they can collect all the taxes they want. They can rip you off for your labor all they want. Yeah. Of course, this is all unconstitutional, but it doesn't seem that the Constitution is very much getting in the way of their plans, because they have total control practically of the American government. All digital dollar transactions would be logged, could potentially be traced back to individuals. Well, could potentially. They practically have that, underscored right now. Only problem is cash and things that are not happening in the banking system. That's really what this is all about, is to outlaw any transaction in any monetary form that is not logged. It will become money laundering. See, they've been ramping that up. All of this has been trial runs over the last century. Everything they've been doing has been just trial runs and testing for what they want to roll out by 2030. And that is the Mark of the Beast. And you will have Mark of the Beast Inquisitions. Anonymity, this article says here, forget about it. And that's the truth. Yes. In recent remarks, Fed Chairman Jerome Powell stated that CBDC users would be identity verified. Well, I guess I'm not going to be one of those because I will not participate. And I'll say it again. I'll read it again here. Anonymity, forget about it. You have no privacy. One proposed way in which the digital dollars would be held and transferred is that everyone would have an individual account with the Fed itself and over the whole world with whatever is they have standing in for the Fed in your country, the World Bank or whatever. The Fed is special to the United States, but it's just all they have to do is duplicate it in the rest of the world. And they already have. Everything's already pretty much in place for the rollout of the Mark of the Beast. T-M-O-B. The Mark. T-M-O-B. The Mark of the Beast. Yeah. They say CBDC. Just remember, that really means the Mark of the Beast. Central Beast. Digital currency. We could call, I'm going to start calling it that now. Central Beast Digital Currency. Yeah. Because there's a whole lot you could say what do with those acronyms. Central Beast DC, Washington DC, because that's one of the city states that is controlled by the Vatican. As a matter of fact, Washington DC was created at the behest of the Jesuit general. Read F. Tupper Saucy's book, Rulers of Evil. Okay. One proposed way in which digital dollars would be held and transferred is that everyone would have an individual account at the Fed itself. There are currently some legal restrictions on the Fed being able to create cash accounts for individuals. But hey, the law's not going to get in their way because they can change the law. They have executive orders and perhaps even the last several executive orders of the pretender-in-chief, Joe Biden, cover that. Yeah. Therefore, the Fed officials have suggested that commercial banks and other financial institutions act as intermediaries in administering FedCoin. You're listening to Across the Border. I'm Nicholas Arthur. This is a live Prophecy Reality edition. We're going to take a break here. I'll be back in a few minutes. Do not go anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses, bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is. Speculation, not truth. This book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there. Or you may also find it at Amazon. Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. Well, let's see. What else do we have? Thank you all for showing up in the chat room, those of you who have here. It's good to see you all. Let's see. We got Stephen says in the chat room, I ran into a dear friend at church that I was rejected at by the pastor just because I shared the Abraham Accord with him. It was interesting to hear what this pastor said about us. We are not biblical. It made me sad because I love this pastor. The friend wants to continue to have fellowship. I never said any negative words about the pastor. Well, it's because you're a good Christian man there, and we could learn a lot from your behavior there, Stephen. And, you know, sometimes people just, they have a hard time letting go of, dispensational futurism. But I did write that book, The Abraham Accord, for dispensational futurists. So, let's see, I'm going to put a link to that last article here in the chat room. And also, for anyone at all that wants to share the book, The Abraham Accord here, I do have this on the internet in PDF, and I'm going to put a link in the chat room right now. And you can share this, read it for yourself, and share it with anyone you want. But here's the link in the chat room. If you're watching the program live, you get it. So, yeah, share that, and hopefully it'll wake some people up. Let's see, what else we got going on here? I had something right on the tip of my tongue, my list of stuff here. Oh, yes, what should we talk about? The Vatican Bank and them drawing all of their stuff in to, into all of their assets into their own bank. The Vatican is the great falling away that is spoken of in the Bible, that Paul spoke of in 2 Thessalonians. And of course, the man of sin is whoever sits in the seat of the papacy. It's like the man of God. You know, you might be a man of God. Your neighbor might be a man of God. Your pastor that is waywardly following futurism might be a man of God. Yes, men of God are all full of faults because none of them is Christ. And Christ is much more than the man of God. He is God in the man. the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I'll just repeat the scripture there so nobody can argue with me. Yes, who's going to argue with scripture? The Pope is not the offspring or in the line of Peter. The Bible clearly states, read the New Testament yourself, that it's clearly stated that it was Paul that God sent. God sent Paul to be the apostle of the Roman Church. It's throughout the entire Bible, not Peter. Peter was never sent to Rome. You'll find that nowhere in the Bible, notwithstanding the, I believe, fiction about Peter being crucified upside down at Rome. I know a lot of people love that little story, but I'm not sure that's true, because there's no evidence that Peter was ever at Rome except that made-up story. Now, I could be wrong, and it really doesn't matter, because God sent Paul to be the apostle at Rome. So their whole Petrine theory, it's all bunk. Yeah. And I have an article, which is trending on my website right now. If you go to my website, you go to the homepage here, and on the, in the left-hand column, it says trending now, and it's usually will be up there. Oh, it's not up there today, but it usually is trending, and it's called Lest We Forget What We Protest. So look up that article, and you can learn about the early history and who really what Peter, the first Pope of Rome, was. It wasn't Peter, but it was a guy named Simon. And he was called Simon Pater. Kind of sounds like Simon Peter, doesn't it? But actually in Latin it means Father Simon. He was the first Pope at Rome for real. That's why they had to make up a story about Peter being the Pope. But the Bible lies. I mean, they lie against the Bible, I should say. Or the Bible reveals their lie because it is explicitly Paul the Apostle who was sent to Rome to establish that church, making him God's apostle to Rome, not Peter. Okay, there's plenty of evidence of that. We don't have to go into that much further. Let's see, what else do we got? Oh, what else is in the news is Prince Charles is finally king of the universe, king of England, taking the place of a purportedly godly woman, his mother. But his mother never spouted on about he wasn't all sold out for the woke and environmental BS stuff. So there was, back in the 1990s, someone wrote a book about Prince Charles being the Antichrist. Well, whoever wrote that book or believes it are really happy now because it looks like their book might be becoming true. And, of course, you all know, because you've been around with me for 10, 20 years, some of you, that that I suggested when Barack Obama became president, because I never bought into the Charles thing, at least not yet at that time. But I did suggest that Barack Obama could be the Antichrist, but not the Antichrist of the Bible, the pseudo-Antichrist whom the real Antichrist puts up to fill in the fantasy of futurist dispensationalism, you know, because they have their Antichrist of the fiction books. We'll put it that way. Put up to fill the role of the Antichrist of the fiction books. I thought Barack Obama, because a lot of people thought that the Antichrist would be Islamic. So he would fit perfectly in that mushed up mess of left behind fantasy. So that's why I couldn't believe that Prince Charles was the Antichrist, because, you know, we know who the historical and biblical Antichrist really is, and it isn't Prince Charles, and neither is it Barack Obama. But I did suggest that Barack Obama could be put up for the pseudo-Antichrist. Well, Barack Obama's time came and went for that position, although he's still in the White House. I think it's really, this is like the third term of Barack Obama's presidency. And of course, if you're going to have a third term and follow the Constitution, you need a puppet. So that's out there too. That's just one thing. It's kind of, kind of a thing. You'll notice all of the same people are back from the Obama administration, but As John Arthur says, I digress. And then we got, what's his name? The orange guy. Donald Trump comes into office, and then he moves the capital to Jerusalem. He accepts the Jerusalem as the capital and moves the embassy there, and he starts the Abraham Accord. Of course, he's not really the power behind the Abraham Accord. He was given that position by several other people that pushed him into it. And of course, he likes to take full credit for every fantastic and wonderful thing that he ever does, in his own words. And so we have the Abraham Accord, which I updated my When the Third Temple is Built book, The Rapture Play Will Begin. I updated it and renamed it the Abraham Accord, Harbinger of the Temple Play About to Begin. So a little updated version there. And that link is still in the chat room there. The Abraham Accord Rapture PDF, it says. See, Peter couldn't find a bathroom in Rome. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I couldn't find Peter in Rome in the Bible anywhere. Or any command for Peter to go to Rome. So, like I said, there is that speculation theory story that developed about the same time the Petrine theory developed, that Peter went to Rome and said, oh, I can't be crucified like my master, do me upside down, something like that. And so people believe the story, and it's a very nice story. I used to think it was true because I heard it, and I thought, oh, okay, well, people must know what they're talking about. But historically, you can find no evidence of it. So if someone has some evidence of it out there, some good empirical evidence, historically based, before the Petrine theory appeared, you know, like about the time it really happened, yeah, then I would be interested in it. And it really wouldn't make any difference. Like I said, it would be moot because the Bible explicitly names and God explicitly sends Paul to Rome to establish the church there. So Paul was the first apostle at Rome. And no, he wasn't the first pope. The first pope was Simon Pater. Yes, Father Simon. That's right. They just changed him. Presto changeo. We're going to say change Simon Pater, or Father Simon, into Simon Peter. Sounds right. Yeah. They do a lot of that kind of magic in the great apostate church with their false miracles. It's like the transubstantiation miracle of changing Simon Pater into Simon Peter. Oh my God. The church militant would hate me at this point. Okay. Let's see. What else do we got? Is Prince Charles the Antichrist? So we can expect Prince Charles to step up. And I think he stepped up a long time ago, but now he's actually the king. So we'll see if he moves into getting this Abraham Accord done. Cause he really hasn't embraced his role as defender of the faith, unless he wants to be defender of faith. That means a faith in anything. So the Abraham Accord should be right up his alley. Yeah, shouldn't it? Especially with the Pope, who is really the defender of faith. That is all faith, because she is the great whore church. Yeah, she is Mystery Babylon, which embraced every religion. Yeah. And of course, that spread to pagan Rome, which embraced every religion. Oh, the phone. I forgot about that. Should I answer it? Okay. Your name and where you're calling from? Boy, someone doesn't like what... That might be the church militant. I just have to wonder who is calling, who cares about my... let me see. Is Washington, D.C. logged in the chat room? I guess I better refresh my little browser over there in the chat room so I can see. No, just Hollister, Miami, San Antonio, Florida, Akron, Ohio, San Antonio, Miami, Atlanta, California, and Akron. Yes. So, no, Washington, D.C. is not here today, and I've got no relatives from Detroit in the room today. How disappointing. I've got no relatives anywhere, as far as I know. If you're a relative and you're listening to the program, go over to the chat room and let me know you're here, if I have any blood relatives that actually listen to my broadcast. Yeah. Okay, let's see. What else do we got? We got a few minutes left. Last week, I said I would do it, and I did it. I worked very hard this week on setting up the Revelation Enigma. And you can see that now. And if you go to my website, crosstheborder.org, or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com, and if you're not already subscribed to my blog, well, shame on you. Go there and press the subscribe button or follow button and join. It says 867 other followers. I've been stuck at that number for about 4 or 5 years now. It's getting more popular, not all the time. Okay, so anyway, I put it together, and I'm calling it the Revelation Enigma Decoded, and it says all three books in one volume. So we have number one. If you were to read them in an order, this is the order I would suggest, is the Beast Apocalyptic first, which is an exposition of the apocalyptic beast powers and related symbols of Daniel and the Revelation. So that book there, and these are separate books. That book is like 120 pages long or something like that. About 120 pages long. And the next one would be an exposition of the Revelation, which I actually did first, and then realizing how much more was needed on several other topics, like the beast symbols. And the symbols being used, and the Millennium Question, I realized I wrote those other two books to supplement an exposition of the Revelation, but still a companion to the other ones. And so I have all three of them now, as you can see, an exposition of the Revelation, and all three of them there. The Millennium Question, finally. The exposition of the Revelation is in the view of Reformed premillennial historicism for the 21st century. That's the subtitle. And then the Millennium Question is an exposition. Oh, no, it isn't. It's an apology for the Killism of the primitive church. And all three of them put together in one volume, and that is this volume here, The Revelation Enigma, which you can buy at Lulu Press exclusively, or you can go to my website and click on the Lulu Press button there. Like I said, I posted it on September 20th, so whenever you're listening, find that September 20th, 2022 post on my website, and you can click your way through to buy that on Lulu. But as you can see, it's titled The Revelation Enigma Decoded, Apocalypse Trilogy. Book 1, The Beast Apocalyptic. Book 2, An Exposition of the Revelation. And Book 3, The Millennium Question. There are very few, very few changes in there, typos and stuff. I found some, and I might have changed one paragraph in An Exposition of the Revelation. But otherwise, it's the same as the three books, only it's going to cost you much less than the three books, a little more than one of the books. About 1.5 books you're going to pay for, but get all three. So that's a deal. So, because because after I wrote those three books, I thought, man, I wished I could have just wrote one volume. So I did the second best thing. I put them all in one volume, and you'll find each book individual in the order that they're listed in that volume. So do take advantage of that. If you've only bought one of those, it'll still be cheaper to you for you to buy this one. You can give the other one away. Or whatever, give it to a friend or someone who needs it. And you'll have all three volumes. But nothing's to stop you from going to Amazon or Lulu. I think they're cheaper on Lulu if you want to buy the three volumes individually. They're cheaper on Lulu than on Amazon. Unless you add in shipping. So I don't know if you get free shipping at Amazon. It's probably going to be about the same price either way. Okay, this hour's almost over. Next hour, I found another short interview on that Stu Peters did with Naomi Wolf, which I thought was very good, and I wanted to share it with the audience because I thought, man, you know, the only thing I could do is get Naomi Wolf and interview her myself, but why should I do that? I support both of these people. What they're doing out there. Stu Peters, you can find him on Rumble if you're really interested in his broadcast. And it's a good, fast-paced broadcast. Has a lot of advertising, but hey, you got to pay for all that stuff somehow, especially. Yeah, so I don't think it messes with the broadcast too much. He has a lot of good interviews and articles. Some programs are better than others, but definitely worthwhile. Okay. So when we come back from the top of the hour break, we'll take a look at that and whatever else I have up here. We got some news from Reason. If the pandemic is over, and it is, then Biden's emergency power should end too. I think, you know, they're having a presidential election. And I think one of the things that a president should run on is to eliminate every emergency, to end every emergency, and to end every executive order. Yeah, that would be a platform that I might even be tempted to register to vote for. Yeah, I might even be tempted to register and vote for that platform. Because I think that the cheaters, that the Antichrist that is cheating his cheaters out there in the elections would have to be so overwhelmed that they couldn't even cheat enough to for the people that would vote to end all emergencies and all executive orders, and then spend the next 4 years sorting it out. But see, that would be something. Because then people would be going, but yeah, that's based on an executive order. How much is based on executive order and emergency powers? I don't think they ever ended the emergency that began the war on drugs, for instance. And what did we get that? Drug administration, the drug czar, and all that stuff. All that's based on executive orders and emergency powers and war power. So we got all these wars, we got all these emergencies that have never ended. I think the 911 emergency never ended, and several others. There's probably, someone probably did a list somewhere of all of the emergencies that are still enacted. But the emergency is over. See, take the word emerge. Something emerges, it's an emergency. If it emerged 20 years ago, it's no longer an emergency, you know? And they make up emergencies, things that aren't emergencies, they call emergencies now, like the COVID thing. Yeah. So, and we'll probably talk a little bit more about the COVID fake vaccine in the time to come. The British monarchy. So we have articles there. If Ron DeSantis is so bad, why is living in Florida so good? I've been to Florida. I didn't like the muggy air. I guess if you live on the beach where it's always blowing in or something, it might be good. But yeah, I hear Florida is a great place to live. So I often think about leaving California in case it becomes more tyrannical. In case they come to my door and tell me, you can't grow food or have sheep. So yeah. If that day comes, then I'll say everyone was right. I should have left California. But let's see, where did, so there's a lot of articles there. We could talk about many things, whatever you want to talk about in the chat room. So throw in some suggestions there. Yeah, there's a lot of articles there. We have the Gateway Pundit, oh, the experimental jab. That's a video everyone should watch. Boy, it's power-packed. And that's, I believe that's a Rumble or an Odyssey video too. But you can look up the experimental jab. It's on Rumble. And yeah, I believe that, or Odyssey. But you can probably find it somewhere. And let's see. And we have other articles in my news bag. I have articles too. So we have plenty to talk about in the coming up hour. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas Arthur. This is a live prophecy reality edition. Make sure that you listen to First Amendment Radio throughout the week. Tom Fress today just started. What is that series called? Footprints of the Jesuits. Today is episode one, and there are 97 episodes in that. But man, more applicable. When I was listening to it, I was thinking, wow, this is more applicable to today than it was in 2016 when Tom recorded it. Okay, I'll be back in a few minutes. The book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now. Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. I thought I'd start this hour out with a reading from God's Word, speaking of the times we're living in. And he had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And if you want to know what the image of the beast is, you can go back through my series on the beast apocalyptic, and you can learn that. But it is a real thing, and it is present today. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. We were talking about CBDC, the one world monetary mark of the beast money system that they have dated and planned to roll out by 2030. Then the Mark of the Beast inquisitions will begin. We should not be surprised, especially Christians, all today, looking at all of these things, but very few of them making the connections, you know, or as they say, connecting the dots to the Antichrist and his shadow government that is ruling the world, that has been putting all of these things into place, especially over the last 100 years. They've been setting it up worldwide, and everything is going according to their plan. They did posit in 1988 that they would do it in 30 years. Well, that was 2018, for 30 years from 1988, but here we are. It's beyond that. They set a new date, 2030, the 2030 agenda, 2030. That's it. I have a very interesting interview, which I wanted to replay again from Stu Peters' show yesterday.
Naomi Wolf has a brand new Substack post out drawing upon the work of thousands of volunteers who've come forward to pore over thousands of pages of leaked Pfizer documents. The post is as interesting as it is horrifying. Quote, "The worst that can happen to the human species is happening. Analysis of Pfizer's leaked research documents, quote, has now fully demonstrated that Pfizer's mRNA vaccines target human reproduction in comprehensive, likely irreversible ways. These harms include damage to the menstrual cycle, harms to the testes, the ovaries, and other sex organs, damage to the placenta of developing newborns, contamination of amniotic fluid, and damage to newly born babies. In four cases documented by Pfizer itself, women given the vaccine developed green breast milk. At least those women still gave birth. That makes them luckier than the 22% who were suffering miscarriages in the second and third trimester of their pregnancies." Naomi adds that, quote, "Soon humanity will realize that the worst thing ever to happen to it has taken place. Soon humanity will realize that the miscarriages and the drops in birth rate worldwide, the drop in life expectancy, the neonatal deaths, the ruination of eggs and ovaries were done to them with knowledge aforethought, and that the means for healing the bodies of women is not clear." For reporting this, of course, Wolf and her allies have faced an unprecedented campaign of vilification, denunciation, and ridicule from the forces of the mainstream press, which, by the way, have acted as full-time shills for Pfizer and Moderna and the other pharma behemoths. Naomi Wolf joins us now to talk more about this. Naomi, thank you so much for coming.
Thanks so much for having me, Stu.
Of course. So what is your take here? What is the real reason that the press is ignoring what the rest of us are seeing in plain sight?
Well, you know, as a journalist of 35 years and one who's for decades focused on women's health issues, the fact that this gigantic story, the biggest story of our time, if not humanity, right? This comprehensive assault revealed in the Pfizer documents against every aspect of human reproduction, from male sperm to women's ova to placentas to newborn babies themselves, as you described, it is comprehensively either being ignored or, you know, as my Substack points out, attacked, right? And vilified. And in fact, two recent lawsuits have found that the attacks started as long ago as a year, when both the CDC and the White House were discussing as misinformation that had to be stamped out my accurate tweet warning about hundreds of women reporting menstrual harms early on. So why are they ignoring it? Well, I want to hear your thoughts, but Pfizer underwrites, I mean, I just was invited to the Atlantic magazine's event, and one of the sponsors is Pfizer. The CARES Act poured $1 billion into trusted messengers, including media, for overcoming vaccine hesitancy. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which is invested in the vaccines as well as the vaccine passports, they spent millions and millions funding BBC, NPR, The Guardian, so many trusted gatekeepers in order to advocate for overcoming vaccine hesitancy, which means smearing or silencing people like me and erasing the work that these volunteers, these scientific medical experts are doing in service of humanity. So that's as far as I've gotten. But also there's a massive crime here. So of course, once you've committed a crime, you need to kill the messenger who's standing up saying, you guys, here's the evidence. There's blood all over the floor. You know, there are bodies of tiny babies stacking up. You know, you guys have committed a massive, massive crime. I mean, these are beyond capital offenses, right? This is like Nuremberg trials level, you know, Mengele level experiments. And I don't say that lightly as a Jewish woman. This is the biggest crime humanity's ever seen. And so additionally, we've seen through the CDC and White House, disclosures of colluding with big tech that they're in bed with each other to silence people who bring forward the evidence of this crime. That's the best I can do.
I agree 100%. I mean, this is all about money. We've estimated on this program that these major broadcast and cable news networks get about 70% of their budget now from Big Pharma. They're not going to just say, toss that aside. But
right.
As a result of that, they are almost worse than the inventors and the people who put this together to unleash on humanity because millions, hundreds of millions of people are completely programmed by what they watch every evening on their news broadcasts.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's terrifying. And let's not ignore the role of China, which keeps coming up again and again in my independent research and others. I found that the CCP has a memorandum of understanding with BioNTech, which manufactures the Pfizer injection, mRNA injection, and that the SEC filing showed 100% tech transfer to China. It says to China, not a Chinese
company. So how does that translate to our government? Because China didn't lock us down. China didn't mandate these shots. That's our own government.
Right. I mean, that's the right thing to ask. But we also saw that, I mean, basically what's happened is that there's a level, and I talk about this in my book, The Bodies of Others, a level of coordination that is heaving into view above the level of nation states. And it's the World Health Organization, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the World Economic Forum, and the CCP, you know, and big tech, right? Loosely aligned. And they are colluding, with a hostage White House. This is my view. And with puppet governments in, you know, aligned with them around the world, Macron and Boris Johnson and Jacinda Ardern in New Zealand. These people are all kind of puppets of this meta-national entity. And I do want to say that in my analysis of the Pfizer documents, the vast majority of adverse events are in the United States. And the second biggest number of adverse events are in Western Europe. And that is not random. So my analysis is that this is a bioweapon and it's a national security attack in which basically North America, especially the United States and Western Europe, who are problematic to global tyrants, right? Because of our tradition of the Constitution in our country and human rights in Western Europe, we are uniquely under assault by people who want to reorder the world. And they've said so without human rights, without the Constitution, and really without the next generation being able to reproduce freely. And that's my conclusion of why what's happening. So the White House is not in supreme command. I think the White House is hostage to these forces as well.
I agree. I think our Constitution is null and void. I think our elections are fake. I think that everybody's installed. I think that the CCP has infiltrated our government to the highest levels, including up to as close to the chief of staff of the President of the United States of America, with Mark Meadows doing business and in allegiance with the ridiculously named Humpty Dumpty Institute and the Taiha Institute. These are directly tied to PLA officials.
Wow.
It's insane. It's absolute insanity. We have a compromised corporate government crime syndicate, a structure that's not representative of the people. There is nobody inside of our government, with the exception of possibly Ron Johnson, we'll see where he takes it, actually coming out and saying the things that are obviously right in front of our face. We're supposed to believe that our eyes are lying to us, that our ears are not hearing what we're hearing, that we're not reading the data and the studies. This is a bioweapon, 100%. I agree with that sentiment. I just want to know, like, at what point do you think it was? We knew that the masks didn't work. We knew that the lockdowns didn't work. We saw what China was doing. And yet, for some reason, I don't know if it was Kushner in Trump's ear. I don't know what it was. Why did we lock down our country?
I mean, I wasn't in those rooms, right? But I have been an advisor to a presidential campaign and to a vice president. And I was married to a White House speechwriter. So I can tell you that, you know, presidents are not generalists. They're not scientists. They're not health experts. So they have to trust their advisors at a certain point. And so, you know, when President Trump was told, or even President Biden, this is a novel virus. We've never seen anything like it before. You know, these computer models say if you lock everyone in their homes, they'll survive. They don't have a basis from which to challenge that. And I can also tell you that when the whole corporate media is signed on to this, then going against the grain and saying, well, wait a minute, I want to listen to some other experts, or what about the Great Barrington Declaration experts, that risks burning up political capital. You're killing Americans. I remember those messages. I wrote about this in The Bodies of Others. You know, you're killing grandma. You know, you want to let it rip. I mean, the messaging was so coherent, right? And now we know why. There was great high level of coordination around messaging, kind of bypassing the United States president with And Politico just did a really interesting expose of this with the German paper Die Welt, showing that these NGOs, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, WHO, stepped in with their own messaging over the heads of nation states, over the heads of presidents and prime ministers, and made the pandemic unfold in lockstep around the world with these nonsensical lockdowns, masks, to drive us to take this injection, which subsequently is sterilizing the next generation and killing people off.
And doing exactly what they want it to do. These aren't side effects or adverse reactions. These are intended consequences, 100%. I'm way over time here, but I got to get this question in, so we'll just have to put off this break. How does this end? How long can the media ignore this? What is the threshold for death and damage and carnage created by these shots?
Well, Stu, I guess what I'd like to say to you and everyone watching is we have to stop. We have to leave that paradigm behind. We can no longer expect doctors to act like doctors or hospitals to act like hospitals. We can't expect media to say, oh my God, let's disclose this horrific crime. People are dropping dead. Women are being sterilized. It won't happen. We can't expect our leaders even, because the next tranche will get in and they'll be bought off by Pfizer and Moderna, right? We can't expect anyone to save us but ourselves. So, you know, it ends with us. It ends with us creating new institutions, shows like yours, sites like mine, you know, supporting the dissident doctors who are trying to recreate real science, recreate real medicine, us watching the polls, us running for state level office, local office, school board, us, you know, really, this is, I believe, a spiritual crisis. And I'm not a proselytizer, you know, in addition to a material and a political crisis, us convening, us praying together, us going to town hall meetings, us protecting our communities from what is they have planned for us of a winter of shortages, spiking electricity bills, you know, driving us into the ground economically. We're back to 1776, you know, and we're back to the resistance in World War II. I mean, it is up to us to protect each other in our constitution. Stop waiting for others to act the way they're supposed to. Institutionally, they won't.
Nobody's riding in on a white horse to save us. We have to be the plan. Exactly. I agree 100%. Naomi Wolf, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Eye-opening interview, Naomi Wolf. She used the phrase meta-national entity that she holds responsible for what's going on in the world around us. Meta-national entity. Who is the meta-national entity? Meta means changing. But I think she probably meant supranational entity. And of course, she's pointing to the Antichrist and his shadow government without really knowing who it is. But that's what she's trying to point to, but she doesn't get there quite, because the Antichrist is doing a wonderful job, his shadow government, of covering him and using their several layers of culpable deniability at every turn. But the good news is this, and it's revealed to us in the book of Revelation itself at chapter 18 and 19 of the Revelation, that the 10-horned beast power representing Western Europe and its 10 divisions, they are going to turn on Mystery Babylon, the Vatican, and destroy her with fire. Now, how could this happen? Well, it did happen in history. As I said before, it happened in history. God judged even the seat of the beast, which was the Vatican at that time. And she suffered a terrible judgment. And she was deposed. The Pope was carted off by General Berthy Air. A lot of the church properties, the Vatican was ransacked. Okay? It was a terrible blow to the head of the beast. Severe wound by the sword. So it was a general. It was warfare that came in. She could not buy her way out that time. But the wound was healed, and as scripture said, would be healed in subsequent history, and that would be between then and now that healing took place, and I would say the healing is complete, And I say it's here, the healing is complete with the construct of the image of the beast through which the man of sin, the Antichrist, the false prophet, all of these referring to the same character, the mouth of the little horn, all of these pointing to the man of sin seated on the throne. Many people accept him as a vicar for Christ or a vicar for God. So, definitively, the Antichrist. And that's where it all goes back to. So at some time between now and the return of Christ, the sooner the better as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to say that it likely will not happen before 2030, but sometime between 2030, because that's when they're going to make mistakes. They are going to brag. They are going to reveal themselves so that it becomes plain to most of the people of Western Europe that the whore has regained her throne. Yes, the whore is in control not only of the sea beast, but of the entire world. And when they see it, and then they will blame all of their woes, all of the things that have come on them, that are coming on them right now, Western Europe, all of these things that they are purposely doing to destroy the present world orders so that they can gain complete totalitarian control for the Antichrist and his shadow government. It will become plain sometime between now, between 2030 and the return of Christ, so plain that they will turn on her and they will burn her. That is the Vatican, the seat of the Antichrist, the seat of Mystery Babylon, that whore that rides the beast. They will turn on her. They will place all the blame for everything that she is doing when they finally see, when she finally reveals her cards to the world. She will, in her pride, at some time, do it. She cannot refrain herself. She did it in the past. We thought she learned her lessons and has learned how to work now with intrigue, as the scripture puts that intrigue, was and is not, yet is. If there's any statement of intrigue in the entire scripture, that is it. The beast that was and is not and yet is, referring to the beast as it is under the control of the man of sin, the Antichrist, the false prophet, the whore that rides the beast, and her downfall will be great, and it will affect the whole world. As a matter of fact, her downfall is starting right now. She's bringing everything in. She's calling in all of her cards or all of her money as we started out this broadcast, the first hour. And all of this becomes plain when you really understand history and prophecy together. And that's why through my, what now, 15, 20 years inquiry into prophecy, I was looking for the true interpretation, that Holy Ghost interpretation for the prophetic word of God, the revelation, what is known as prophecy. And I found it in history. Yeah, it's all there. If we forget history or if we ignore history, we don't know anything. You want to know what's going on in the world? It's all very confusing. Read history. Become intimate with history, with true history. Search it out for yourself. And a good place to start was with the Horae Apocalypticae. And you can read that for free. Though we do our cross-border publishing, we have published a four-volume set of that. But you can read it for free, as we have published it, at horaeapocalypticae.wordpress.com. So there's a good place to read history as it unfolded in the prophecy of the book of Revelation. And there are many other good works. And plus, as I said, my work that I just published, the Revelation Enigma Decoded, which has the three latest books that I have written, The Beast Apocalyptic, An Exposition of the Revelation, and The Millennium Question, all under one volume in one book. It's about 450 pages, all three books together. But for a mere $26, you can get it. And if you don't want to buy it, well, that's fine too. If you listen to my broadcast long enough, you'll hear it all because I've done it for Audible on Amazon. So if you've signed up for Audible on Amazon, you can listen to the whole thing, all three books for free because you're already paying for it with your Amazon Audible account. And I am going to play all three of these on the air here. Probably later this fall, sometime between now and then. I've already played them all twice this summer. And I just finished The Beast Apocalyptic again twice. Before that, I played the Audible versions because it takes a week to do each one twice. This week, if you want to listen for free, I'm playing during my regular broadcast. I am playing the Audible version of the Abraham Accord. And that starts over again because that's a 2-day broadcast in 4 hours, 2 days, 2 hours each day. So Thursday and Friday, I will play the entire Audible, or it's already in the archives if you go to our Mobi page at firstamendmentradio.com. You can find the recordings for the entire Audible of the Abraham Accord on the Monday and Tuesday broadcasts. Yeah, the entire book is there. So, and it, like I said, it's going to repeat again tomorrow and Friday. And then I'll figure out what I'm going to do next Monday. I haven't figured that out yet. But if you have a suggestion, please let me know, as I'm up for doing that. And that way you can listen to my books free. And plus you can learn everything by going back through my old broadcast, everything that I've written in my books, I've said more than once, likely, if not a dozen times, over the years on my broadcast. So do enjoy those. Take advantage of all those archives that we have there at firstamendmentradio.com. And you can go to my website at crosstheborder.org, go to the Bible study tab there. You can see all of my Bible studies are listed there in green, the ones that I've completed and are available. And plus all of my, everything else here that you need to listen to. And all of my past Prophecy Reality News broadcast audio by date. If you press on that, it opens up directly to the link there. When you click on that link, it'll put the last one on the top. So all of them from 2017 forward are there. So that's good. That's 5 years worth of broadcasts. Who can endure me for that long? Yeah, some of you have. And we'll come back with some more news and whatever else the Lord prompts in the next segment. Don't go anywhere. Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur. And I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, An Apology for Reformed Premillennial Historicism in the 21st Century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant View. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is. Speculation, not truth. This book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants. in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there. Or you may also find it at Amazon.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And I guess we're just going to take a look at some news for this last segment here. You check the chat room. Nope, we got no comments or anything over there. I do want to thank everyone for taking part, participating in the broadcast, and all of you that are listening while you work. Thank you for spreading the word around about this broadcast. Maybe someday we'll get three more listeners. Okay. Democrats are scared. Yes, people who believe in the false paradigm, the liberal or conservative paradigm out there for sale in the main political mainstream. Yes, I guess they would be scared. People aren't going to vote in step with the Democrats and the media spin. They're going to vote according to what is impacting their daily lives. And I believe that's probably true. We'll just see how much cheating goes on in these elections. They haven't been able to cure cheating in California. As a matter of fact, it hasn't been recognized here for 20 years, for the 20 years that it's been going on, as it did, has been going on for the last 10 years in national elections under the scrutiny of the entire world. I mean, everyone knows. I mean, it's so obvious when they have photos of people rolling out suitcases with extra ballots in them while there's supposed to be a leak and they had to chase all the watchers away. Come on. What are we, stupid or idiots? No, people are not stupid. People are not idiots. They can plainly see what's going on in plain sight. When your cheating becomes so blatant that even those who don't want to see it can't help but notice it. And going, oh, shit, that emperor has no clothes, everybody. This guy's naked, you know? Anyway, so are the Democrats scared? Well, I guess it should be. And I hope that they can't cheat enough or that there is enough scrutiny that people will not cheat, or won't be able to cheat because there's enough good people in America, I believe, especially if I believe my belief on Bible prophecy about America is that America is evenly split between lamb-like and dragon speaking. Although the dragon speaks, the lamb, they just baa once in a while, you know. But this is a dragon speaking horn that we have to deal with. And they get to lie, cheat, and steal. Whereas the lamb-like, they don't lie, they don't cheat, they don't steal, kill, and destroy. But we can, there's enough of that going on out there with the half that are listening to the dragon speak under the total control of dragon speak, the great delusion that the dragon speaks there under, that power of the dragon. Yes, indeed. So that's what's going on. That's what I see in prophecy. And that's what you would learn if you'd listened to this broadcast or if you read my book, The Beast Apocalyptic. You would understand that completely. Again, I think this book is essential for anyone. My latest publication, The Combination, the volume that contains those three books, definitely indispensable to understanding the revelation if you want some help to understand the biblical and historical interpretation of the book of Revelation and the related Daniel texts that mean so much to understanding it. Okay, what do we have here? Let's see. George Soros, the man behind the curtain. Yes, and he is behind the curtain. And that's something all of you voters out there need to call out this guy, especially people that he is funding for office in America. This guy should be outlawed. He should be an outlaw in America, but because he is going along with the regime that the Antichrist has put in power in Washington, D.C. today, they won't stand up against him, where perhaps the last president might have, and maybe will if he is voted in again. Not saying that I really think that Trump was that great, and we've discussed that before, but definitely would prefer him to the regime that's in office now. And we'll see how that pans out in 2024. Billionaire Jorah is the rare megalomaniac who not only believes he's a god, but reveals in behaving like one. It's a sort of disease when you consider yourself some kind of god, the creator of everything. But I feel comfortable about it now since I began to live it out, he once boasted to The Independent. So he thinks he is a god. And he's been deceived by his riches. The deceitfulness of riches has consumed this man. And, all of his plans are going to come to naught in the long run. Oh, he may have, you know, done a lot of damage, but all that damage is really being done to himself because basically our life is played out before a cloud of witnesses and what they see. So our life is like a testimony to these witnesses. It's like the jury of heaven is this cloud of witnesses, and they're taking notes, George Soros. And all of these things are being written in the books by which you will be judged, unless you get your name in the book of life. But I wouldn't hold out much hope for that. Let's see. So anyway, he made that boast. I'm going to read it again. It's a sort of disease when you consider yourself some kind of god, the creator of everything. But I feel comfortable about it now since I began to live it out. That's the deceitfulness of riches speaking. He believes by the power of his money, he gets to be a god and create and shape the world according to his own vision. This God-man. Yes, here. Behold, the liberals and those that love darkness, behold your God. Early in the book, Palumbo highlights Soros's amorality, planted perhaps when his Hungarian Jewish family assumed Christian identities and collaborated with the invading Nazis. So you can see deception began early in his family when they pretended to be Christians. Yeah. No pretend Christians will inherit the kingdom of God. Sorry. Yes, and there are some pretend Christians that really think they are Christians. They're so deceived. But yes, he says, the teenage Soros accompanied his phony godfather who inventoried property seized from Jewish families sent to concentration camps. Yet he says he feels no guilt, only detachment. I was only a spectator. The property was being taken away. I had no role in taking that property away, so I had no sense of guilt, he said in a 1998 interview on 60 Minutes. He likened his actions then to his playing the markets later. In funny way, he said, it's just like in the markets. That if I weren't there, of course, I wasn't doing it. But somebody else would be. Of course, he had proxies doing evil for him, which makes you guilty of the evil that they do. But somebody else would be taking it anyhow. He recounts that this period has probably the happiest year of my life and a very happy making, exhilarating experience. Yes, what was he so happy about? Oh, all of the people, all of these people that are ruining our country that he, by his billions of dollars, bought their way into office to help destroy America, because basically he's just a shill for the Antichrist, because America and its liberties and its Protestants must be destroyed for the Antichrist to get totalitarian control of the entire world. Continuing, besides hubris and amorality, two major ideas drive Soros. Let's see, at least our author of this article understands, beside hubris and amorality, two major ideas drive Soros. He has a personal theory of reflexivity and the philosophy of Karl Popper, his guru at the London School of Economics. Both have inbuilt ironies. While reflexivity might be just an economic speculator's hobby horse, Popper's ideas, riding on Soros's mind and money, could lead the free world into an anarchist leftist hell. Simply put, reflexivity says the world is very complex, so humans use perceptual shortcuts like generalizations, dichotomies, metaphors, and decision rules. These, in turn, affect reality via the changes they cause in human behavior. Soros believes that, guided by this concept, he has gamed the markets, cheated, in other words, by recognizing when perception and reality are at enough variance for betting big. So he's a gambler, and he knows how to cheat. Like all systems, to beat the casino, love it. Could be any player. This is a humbling and hubris. Oh, this is humbug and hubris, for it posits someone's immune to perceptual shortcomings that, by the premise, afflict everyone. But every successful speculator's theorizing gains some indulgence, never mind the informants and networks he'll never mention. Nor is Soros innocent of insider trading either. And so anyway, that from American Thinker. Let's see, what else have we got here? The big guy resurrects Big Brother Newspeak. Of course, they think the big guy is Joe Biden, but I heard another theory. Let's see, who do I give credit for that? Oh, yeah, Rick Wiles of True News. When you think about the big guy, he says that it's really, his speculation is, that it is really Barack Obama is the big guy. And if you take that in context of all the payoffs during all of the corruption that was taking place when Biden was vice president, it makes sense that Barack Obama would be the big guy. Yes. And we have shades of Mengele. Is a doctor's trial needed in America? Yeah, well, not only is it needed in America, but it is needed in Nuremberg. And I'm just hoping and I'm praying, oh God, please, please, let there be enough justice in the world to bring some of these people to trial at Nuremberg and let some of them hang. Yes, I'm going to be, you know, like the souls of them that are crying out for justice. When will we be avenged? Well, we have millions now that have been murdered intentionally, as Naomi Wolf so expertly articulated during that interview we played in the second segment of this broadcast. Yes, I can see as it builds, there's a crescendo coming where Nuremberg trials will be cried for by the whole world, and we'll see who can buy their way out and who's going to be the fall guy. But I think some heads are going to roll or some bodies are going to hang by the neck by the end of it. We can only hope and pray for such judgment on such a the hugest crime ever committed against humanity has just taken place. Do check out that Naomi Wolf interview that I began the second segment of this broadcast with. Or if you can't find it there, you can find it on Stu Peters' September 20, 2022 broadcast. So do check that out. So shades of Mengele, yes, indeed. Well, see what else we got here for this article. If you're really that smart, are you really that smart if you can't recognize BS? Well, I did see one article. I don't know where that is because I lost all my email tabs after I didn't, which I discovered again after I started the broadcast, because I tab emails for news articles. Let's see. Your name and where are you calling from? 3, 2, 1. You're out. So I did see an article where the rejection rate for the jab is now 99%. When people are being asked to take the jab, 99% reject it. I think it's over for the jab. And maybe, I dare say, all new vaccines, and even a lot of the traditional vaccines, because Alzheimer's, not Alzheimer's, but what do they call that disease children get? when they take from the vaccine inflicted diseases. Yeah. Anyway, it's all coming to light and the light is starting to shine brighter every day. Praise God. Let it be. And see, this is where it's going to lead to outing the Mystery Babylon whore and the 10 horns turning on her and burning her with fire. Thank God. We can cheer and we can praise God that that day is coming. And yes, autism. Thank you for that, Fireman Mike. Yeah, Fireman Mike always has the words that are, I can't find on the tip of my tongue. But yeah, the Alzheimer's, our autism thing is coming up. As light is starting to shine on that too, as it should with these COVID vaccines. And now we can't trust anything that the pharmaceutical companies are doing because they're trying to slip in this mRNA technology everywhere. And this 99% refusal rate. I was glad to see that article. I think that was on Children's Health Defense, if I remember correctly. But like I said, I lost a tab, so didn't get to it, but I did remember it. So that really makes my heart glad that more people, much fewer people are going to succumb to this. But they are still pushing it out as if the emergency isn't over. And for people flying into America or people working in hospitals. So all I can say is resist. Just say no. We'd rather cost you your job. And people are choosing that option. I don't care. What good's a job if I'm dead or maimed for life? Because it's more likely you'll just get maimed for life and die early anyway. So that's how obvious this thing has become to the world. And I believe that they really want to start a world war just to change the subject. So we have to be afraid of that because they have they're highly motivated to get us into the world war. See, they don't care how many people die, how many people get nuked, how many people they kill, because that is their object for their god, Mother Gaia, Mother Earth Gaia, to reduce the population of the earth, to save the earth. What a lie. What a lie. During the millennial reign of Christ, which is coming up sometime about the middle of this century, yes, around 2055, if our calculations are correct, the seventh millennium from Adam will begin. And you're going to see more population on this earth during that millennium than you ever saw in history. And guess what? People are not going to be starving. Because they're going to pound their plowshares their swords into plowshares. Yeah. Yeah. And they're going to turn all of the tanks into cultivators or whatever to grow food. Yeah. You'll see. And I don't think we were even going to need computers. So, and I write about that in the Millennium Question briefly, but it should answer a lot of your questions if you're still wondering about the millennial reign of Christ. And I am willing to debate anyone on this topic. I am the guy to debate. If you're an amillennialist and you think you got it locked down, well, in an honest debate with debate rules, I will debate you with no ad hominem attacks or otherwise. We're going, oh, well, you don't have a PhD. You didn't go to seminary. Yeah, well, I didn't get inseminated with a lot of Antichrist Jesuit lies. That's what I didn't get inseminated with. Thank God. But that doesn't mean just because you were taught lies, because I was taught the same lies, only I was taught them sitting in church. From people that learned them from people that went to seminary. And the whole rapture, pre, mid, post debate, using the rapture, hidden history, all of that intrigue used just to deceive Protestants so that they would believe that the Antichrist is not sitting now, but is some guy that you can't know who he is that's going to appear in the future. Yes, that's a lot of bull hockey. And if you want to get right to that one, you can read my book, and you can read it for free. There's a link in the chat room to the Abraham Accord Rapture PDF. And refute that. Because I love it. Steve in the chat room was talking about a pastor that they kicked him out of the church after he gave the pastor a copy of that book. But he didn't refute it. He didn't say, Steve, let me show you in the Bible where this book is wrong. No, they just cut you off. Oh, no, can't have that. No, they won't correct you. They won't show you where you're wrong because they cannot. They can't use the Bible to overthrow what is written in that book. Because I use the Bible to overthrow their fantasy, and I call it out exactly for what it is. It's Jesuit intrigue. It's a war on Protestant thought, and they seem to be winning it in the visible church on earth. But they will not win, because we know God has been winning all along. He's been building his church, just like Jesus said, I will build my church. Well, they haven't stopped him one iota. He is building their church, despite they're building an Antichrist great apostasy church. Yeah, that doesn't change a thing. So not by might nor by power, neither by money or by the warfare of the flesh, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And that's all we have time for. Then may the Almighty bless you and keep you as you travel the narrow way that leads to life, cross the border into the kingdom of God, and live forever. Absolutely nothing is more important. I'll see you next time.